So open your Bibles today in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Somebody told me this morning, I didn't realize that today is the last Sunday, not only of this year, but only of this decade. The last Sunday of this decade. And I think this message can really help us. If you can just chew on this for the next decade, it can really, really, really help you. If you can really apply this for the next 10 years of your life, I think you did it. I'm not saying don't come to church anymore, but it is very, 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 very important. I grew up under a father who talked once in a while about having the favor of God in our life and how important that is. And if you would go with me to Proverbs 3, 3 and 4, the title of the message is Favor and High Esteem. And the Bible says here in verse 3, let no mercy and truth forsake you. No mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so, can you read all with me together? Let's go together. 1, 2, 3. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. I ask you, just help us to understand your word. Help us to value the favor of God and the high esteem of God as one of the most precious and the most precious thing in our life. And as a consequence, we'll have favor and high esteem with men. Lord, we ask you to just help us today that you would speak to our hearts. You will show us an area in our lives where we have to apply more the truth of your word. And a person in our life that we can apply, that we should apply more mercy, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody says, amen. It is ending the year, and I know you probably came saying, he's going to talk about new resolutions, new year resolution. But I want to talk to you today about, if it is not there, you need to bring it into your life. Only you have the power to do it. But if it is there, the Bible says, let no mercy and truth forsake you. Now we read in verse 4 that you will have the favor of God and the high esteem of God. Let me explain to you something. God loves us all the same. Amen? Amen. The same, the same, the same. But not everybody who is a Christian has God's favor and high esteem. You might know people in your life who you see that they have it. Because there are Christians who are walking in obedience to the word of God and are allowing God to use them as a vessel of mercy for others. And there is those who don't. God loves us all the same. And today we're going to hear a little bit about that. How many of you guys would like to have the favor of God in your life? Yeah. The high esteem of God. Those are different things than love. The favor, the blessing. The high esteem of God. The Bible says that Jesus, as he grew in favor with God and with, when he was in this earth, he grew in favor with God and with people. So sometimes we want the favor of people in our lives, but we are not seeking to do what we have to do to have the favor of God in our lives. And to tell you the truth, God is the only one who can give you real favor with people. That's a blessing that only God can give you. Because if something else can give you high esteem and favor of men, this scripture will not exist. But the Bible says, take the next 10 years. I'm not saying the Bible says that. I would say take the rest of it. When I read this a couple weeks ago, it hit me so strongly. Because I know that most of us would like to have the blessings and the favor of God. And the Bible doesn't say you have to live a life of perfection. Never mess it up. Never think, never say, never do anything that doesn't please God. It says you do not let truth. And most of the time I would say truth is for you the truth. Because we are so easy to find truth for the decisions and the lives of others. And it's so easy for us to be blind in areas of our lives. I see it as a pastor. People who always know what's wrong with everybody else, and they are so blind in their own lives. Do you know somebody like that? I know I am one of those persons that it's easier for me to fix somebody else's life and be very blind about an area in my life. That was for you and for me. Be careful. And then, mercy for others and truth bind them around your neck. I grew up in an area where we're not very rich, in a part of the world where we couldn't afford sometimes the necklace of gold or silver, so we hang the cross or something like that with this black, you know, black strong string, and we tied it up. And you knew how important a moment or a person is in that life. That's what I like, because buy you a shoe, 2-3 years later, 5 years later, whatever, is gone. Clothing, whatever, is gone. But a bracelet or a necklace, if you really, how would your spouses feel, husband and wives, if your spouse will come and say, you know what, honey, you know what, Katie, this kind of ring kind of bothers me, you know? It's not really important, is it? I'm just going to not wear it anymore. Katie would say, whoa, wait a little bit. That's why the Bible talks here about an exterior thing. Tie them around your neck. I know people who has this necklace for 20, 30, and 40 years because the mom or the grandma gave it to them. Do you know anybody like that? And they will die and they will say, bury me with that necklace. Because that person is important. I had a girlfriend long time ago. Boy, I was 15. Kids, bad age to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And she gave me gifts. And I was cheap, always been cheap, always will be cheap probably. I felt so bad not giving her anything. So I bought her a bracelet. And then I did. I was the dumbest kid in the whole wide world of history. I told her what a man should never, never tell a woman. I never loved you. We are done, honey. I didn't say honey. Yeah, I know. Some of you ladies are thinking, how did Katie even marry this guy? You know? And she came from another country with her best friend. Her friend was a Christian. Didn't slap me and kick me and told me ugly words because she said that she was a Christian. But she was mad as heck with me because I broke the relationship. And I'm being even more mean. She asked me for all the gifts like that was going to affect me, you know. What did I do? I asked her to give me back that one bracelet. Horrible. But why am I saying this? God puts here something that when something is important to you, when something is important, this ring, you cannot buy it from me for $1 million. Probably Katie would say, you're $1 million, let it go, you know. We'll make another one. And then it says, and write them in the tablets, not the papyrus, which was material made out of fiber of plants or animal skin. They use that also to write, but over time that can fall apart. The Bible says, write them, engrave them deep. You get a piece of tablets. It was stone. The Ten Commandments was given what? In stone. Engraved. You have to work really hard. So God is saying here, you want favor and high esteem. I love you all. But you want my favor and my high esteem. And if you have it from me, I will give it to you also with people. This is what you need. You need to live under the word of God, number one. And second, you need to apply mercy in all your relationships. Is that what the Bible says? It's two of the hardest things for me to apply the word of God. We live in a time and age, my friends, where some of the things are really, of this world, are really conflicting with the word of God. And this world will tell you, you will have more favor of people if you buy into this new idea and walk away from the Bible. I still believe that the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of man. Be careful. The importance of having this outside and inside, right? Tie them up forever around your where? Your neck. And then engrave them in the stone of your heart. This message is not so much about what you should do new, but it's more about what you should never, ever, ever let go in your life as a Christian. Anybody already hears the voice of God telling you, you need to apply more mercy into this one person in your life? I know I have more than one. If I'm honest with you, it's not natural for me to be merciful with people. It's natural for me to straight up everybody and to tell them what's wrong with their lives. Anybody feels like me? You might do a okay preacher, maybe. Because you need to have mercy. Let's go two verses before where the whole story starts. Here's Solomon talking to his son, the wisest man that ever existed. This is God talking to us. My son, do not forget my law. What is that? The word of God. Do not forget it. You can only forget something that you already what? Know. We live in an era, my friends, where people sing better than ever before in church, but reads the word less than ever before in church. We live in an era, and I'm not talking about, I love worship. Man, I want to have great worship every single service. I am into worship, man. If I'm going through a hard time, I put some worship out there, and it really helps me. But let me tell you something. You want to have a new life, you need to spend time in the Word of God every single day, more than just a few seconds. Because the Bible says, do not forget, you study. He's talking about the kids, the Jewish kids who grew up. By the age of 12, they have memorized the Pentateuch, the whole first book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They have memorized. So God is saying, do not forget my law, but let your heart, where? Your heart. Keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace. So we talk about having the favor of God, the high esteem of God and people. And now the Bible says, and I will give you also length of days and long life. I don't know if you want to die soon, but I am not in that group of people. I want to walk with God. And I wish with 120 years, I can still be touching somebody's life and not be just in a bed somewhere, a vegetable. But I'm telling you, I'm not too crazy about dying right now. Not that I'm so great, but I need more time to grow up a little bit more in my life and make a difference, I guess, in somebody's life still. Amen. And the Bible says, long length of days and long life and peace will be added to you. Others translation said, will be multiplied to you, will increase and increase and increase in your life. Peace. And then the favor of God. Nobody but you determines the quality of your life, the peace in your life, the favor and high esteem of God and people. Nobody but you for you and me for me. Can I have an amen on that? Nobody can. God will never give the power in somebody else's life to determine the favor, the peace, the long life and good life. But the Bible says, walk in my word. Walk in my word. The decisions that we make need to come under this question. What the God says about this decision? What the God says about this subject in my life. What the God says about this way of speaking, this way of treating others, this way of thinking, this way of spending my money, this way in my relationships, in my marriage, in my kids. What the God says about what I do with my life. What does God says in His Word? Amen. I have never, ever, forgive me for getting so excited, but I have ever, never, ever seen a person walk under the fear of God and in the Word of God and mess up their lives. Never. They go through hard times. They go through challenges. But the favor of God is in that person. One of them was my father and my mother. I know what it is. I have a vivid example in my life of two parents who lived a life, my mom, 78, still so tremendously blessed by the Lord. But she starts her day with a cup of coffee in the Bible, in prayer, seeking the Lord, reading the Word of God for a good while. Every morning, opening that daily bread devotional. There is discipline. There is discipline. There is priorities in the life of a person who has the favor of God. Let no mercy and truth forsake you. Let no mercy and truth forsake you. Have you ever heard this saying, love is a decision? Have you ever heard that say? Amen. Love is a decision. If love would be a feeling, God will say, whatever your feelings lead you, honey. Today, this person seems to be the one I want to be romantic, but tomorrow maybe she doesn't do something or says something that bothers me. In a work, I'm going to find somebody else who seems to be more romantic with me today. And my feelings just go around like that. If I would be led by feelings in my love or you, faithfulness would be a big old fat joke in this world. Yes or no? Yes. How many of you married people would love to have faithfulness and loyalty from your spouse the rest of your life? Amen. And do not, honey, be led by your feelings and your emotions, because bad days and seasons will come. Amen, married people, will come. Trials and tribulations. That's what God says to things. My dad told me this, and I will say this until I die. Christian, before you marry, open your eyes wide. Very, 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 very wide. I will never, ever advise you to marry a person you just know for 2 days or 2 weeks. I will never do that. Most likely, you're not going to die in a month. So take a little bit of time. Amen?
Amen.
But after you marry, he would say, close your eyes forever. We've seen the movie Sandlot, forever. You gotta have some kids who spend some time watching movies. Forever. Have you seen that scene? I love the scene of Forever in Sandlot 2 or 3. It is forever. I know I haven't been to the movies to see the last, what is it, Star Trek, Star Wars, something like that. Star Wars. Watch Sandlot forever. Because mercy is not a feeling. How many of you guys feel like being merciful all the time with those who just step on your toes 24/7? Oh, yeah, honey, you said it again. You so mean. You called me this again, and you did this. Somebody the other day, a good friend of mine, call me something I never imagined this great, great, great friend of mine would ever call me. And I went home and I told Kitty, it kind of a little hurt my feelings there. And you know how Katie is. Oh, I didn't mean, probably, whatever. And so I was just like, next day we are spending time again. And I'm all over the whole thing. But it's not natural to be merciful with people. And so God says here, mercy, 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 mercy. Fix your relationships with mercy. I heard about this pastor who was a senior pastor. I'm going to go PG-13 for a little second. And he was a youth pastor first, very young pastor. Not in this church, far, far away from here, somewhere in the United States. And this pastor, when he became a senior pastor, he's telling the church a story, and I'm hearing this story. He said he was closing the church one Wednesday or Friday night after youth service. In a big parking lot, and the kids are leaving, and he sees a car in the very, very back, in the most hidden place of the parking lot. He says, what's going on over there? It's kind of, you know, moving a little bit and very fogged all the windows. True story. And so he is there. He's just married for 2-3 months. And he's thinking that's the nightmare for a youth pastor, you know, to find something that should be happening in the church parking after youth service. You'd listen to me. You should never do this because I will get a gun. No, I'm just kidding. And so he knocks on the window because he wants to know. He's the youth pastor. He's in charge of it. He's a pastor. Kyle knows. All the responsibility falls on me. And he rolls, and the window rolls down a little bit. Who is there? One of the oldest board members with his wife in the car, in the church. Hello? Everything okay? Yeah, everything okay. Bye. You know? After the whole incident, he goes to this board member and tells him, yeah, I'm just married. You've been married for 35 years. And look at you, behaving like worse than the kids in this church. But he's married, you know. Tell me the secret of 35 happy, happy years of marriage. Canute, 59 with Lana, 59 just celebrated. Tell me the secret. Yeah, 59. And the board member said, brother, 2-3 times in the year, 4, 6, 7 months, I ask my wife, how am I doing? How am I doing as a husband? How am I treating you? How you feel? How things are going? Are you following me here?
Amen.
Now I ask you, would it be okay maybe to ask more than just your spouse, maybe your kids, maybe your friends. How am I doing? And if you really, really want to hear the truth, the other day my wife shared something with me that she never shared before, and I know is the truth, but I did not want it to hear it. It's in between me and her. You want to know the truth? Ask your spouse how you're doing. Nothing sinful, but it's not something I can be proud of, the way that I act when things don't go the way I want them to go. How am I doing? How are you doing with the truth of the Word of God in your life and you being merciful with people? How are you doing? Because I know that I know that I know. I really believe that nobody in this room will walk out of this door saying, I do not want the favor of God in my life. Anybody who was volunteer for that right now? I do not want the high esteem of God. With His love is enough for me. I don't want His favor. I don't want His high esteem. I don't want the favor and the high esteem with people. That would be a big lie. And the Bible is so, so, so truth with me, with us. Galatians 6, the Bible says in Galatians 6, 7, don't be misled. Don't be misled. We're just going to read the Bible today. It's okay to read the Bible in church, okay? Galatians 6, let's go all together. 1, 2, 3. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always, say with me, always. Always. One more time. Always. One more time louder. Always harvest what you plant. You are not going to mess with the justice of God. And some people got really uncomfortable in the first service when they hear this saying, I'm going to, okay, because I can see in their eyes, it's like, what I'm going through right now is really something that I have sown in this. And let me tell you something, the Bible says, and I'm old enough to tell you, that every harvest that I see in my life, I have planted something for the harvest to happen. Rather be good or not good. You will always look into somebody's eyes, tell them, always, always reap what you sow. Where we can make the difference is we can start sowing more and more in walking in obedience, spending time with the Lord, spending time with His Word, and we can always apply more mercy. Anybody here who wants to be very honest, and you really know you have one person in your life, I'm going to ask you something really challenging. You at least have one person in your life that you know that you could apply a little bit more mercy into that relationship. Let me see your hands. All of us, if we are honest. Unless you have nobody in your life. But if you have at least two or three people in your life, always, always, whatever you reap is because you sow them. Go with me to Ecclesiastes 11:4-6. It's so beautiful. I love this. I can preach a whole series maybe on this three verses. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 11:4-6, the Bible says, farmers who wait for perfect weather, what they do? Never plant. If you're waiting for your relationship, your spouse, your kids to become perfect, then you're not going to need to apply any more mercy into that. If you're waiting for your life to be perfect and no temptation or nothing like that, nobody stepping on your toes, no struggle, no tribulations, no need, no sicknesses, no bad neighbors, bad people. No, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Because for you to harvest, you need to do what first? Plant. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in his mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God, who does how many things?
all things.
Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you do not know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. The second time I'm going to go PG-13. That's why the kids should be up there, and everybody is up there already. And I don't go too crazy. But let me tell you what the Bible says here. This is very related to Proverbs. It says, you want to have babies? You need to understand or try to figure out how the baby is going to grow. Take a good time, open your eyes very, 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 very wide. Find a spouse, get married, then you have intimacy, and that will do it for you, if everybody's healthy, to have a baby. Amen? And do not worry, God is in charge. What God is saying here is, don't worry so much about all the crazy things going around, everything you see, everything you hear, everything. No, no, you worry about two things. Walk in the word of the Lord, and be very merciful with people, and that will do it. The babies will come. Are you following me here? Don't worry so much about the whole thing. I never worry. I have four kids. I never worry about the whole thing. You know, moms, they buy the what to expect when you're expecting, and they have encyclopedias of book on the internet, everybody, and then you go to the doctor. I never worry. I know I had to just to do one thing, find a godly woman, and then do what we all do when we are married. That's all I had to worry about. Don't worry so much about how you're going to have the favor of God and people and the high esteem of God and long life and peace and all these things. Walk in the word of God and be merciful. And be merciful. The question is, how much do you value the favor of God and the high esteem and the peace of God and the long life? How much do you value that? How much? For how many people is very, very important? Let me see your hands. Very important. Very important. That's what I'm saying. If you can chew on this for the next 10 years, they will really help you. Some of you guys are going to save your relationship with your kids, with your spouses, with your mom, with your dad. You're not going to lose that great job that you have. It gives you a good check, but everybody seems to act like the devil. Whatever it is, you'll stay in this church for a long time if you apply mercy. Amen. If you do not apply mercy in this church, I'll see you again one of these days in Walmart. The truth. I'm the perfect pastor for you to apply mercy and love and forgiveness. Thank you, Gil. He's a board member. He knows that. I'm not that easy. I wonder sometimes how many things the board member walk out of that room scratching their head and saying, oh man, this guy, are we going to forgive him? It wasn't that. But I really wonder sometimes, how much do you value? You cannot control the circumstances, but you can be controlled by your circumstances or your feelings, or be controlled by God's character in your heart if you have engraved it in the tablets of your heart. Listen. Too many people mess up their lives because they are so controlled by the feelings and the emotions. And we're all going to go through seasons of temptations of walking away from the Word of God in our lives. And then we wonder, why I don't have His peace? Why I don't seem to have His favor anymore? Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I've seen people messing up their lives because they are so jealous and they want the favor of God in their lives that they see others having now. They're jealous, they take trash, they start making self-destructive decisions. But you and I cannot make it from here to China in 1 hour. Anybody has a way to make it from here to China in 1 hour? This message I'm preaching, if you're going to take a bike or a car or a boat or walking, this is no airplane, France Air Lufthansa, who flies, you know, like the sound of this, the speed of the sound. There is some airplane they have in Europe. It's tremendous. When you want to make it to China in 1 hour, you're going to destroy your life. You see others having God's favor in their lives? They've been 20, 30, 40 years investing in walking in obedience to God and being merciful with people. How big it is, how much in obedience they walk, how merciful they are with people, the more grace and high esteem from God they have. Amen. It's very, very mathematical. And I say that again. You can mess up your life because you're jealous. You won. You know the people who were the happiest last Sunday here, who were the teachers who have been teaching this 22, 23 kids who were singing here, the choir? The teachers of these kids, the teachers of many years, were texting me, "Pastor, oh man, melted my heart." The moms and the grandmas. Never a guy texted me last Sunday, but the ladies in the church make me cry. I love the choir, but my heart and my eyes were crying Saturday because what? I was listening to two girls practicing here, and they were going to sing Sunday. And you heard them. You know who they are. Millions and billions of years I have invested into their lives. It feels like sometimes. Tears and worries and work and nights and sweat and all that stuff. Great choir. But I was crying listening to my two daughters because I have invested years and years. I'm not the perfect father, but I tell you, I have invested a few hours into these two girls. You want God's favor? You want God's high esteem? You are going to go through seasons of temptations because the devil hates nothing more than a Christian who has God's favor in their lives. He knows that God loves us all the same. Can't do anything about that. The devil cannot do anything about how much God loves you, how much he will forgive you, how much he will try to bring you back as a prodigal son to bless you and help you to walk in obedience and in blessings and in a life of abundance in this world and an eternal life. The devil cannot do much about that, but he sure can mess up with how merciful you are with people and how much you walk in the obedience of the Lord. He hates those Christians because those Christians become the Jobs of 2019. Have you seen my servant Job who has my favor? You know the story. Devil and God talks. Yeah, you give him all that, but he loves me. He fears me. Can I touch everything but not him? And then touch, and he's still worshiping the Lord. And then you can touch his body. Let me tell you about Job walking in obedience with the Lord. Job, the Bible said, has seven kids. These people were billionaires. And the seven kids party every single night, all night long. And every morning, Job will wake up with all the mercy in his heart. He will build an altar for every one of his kids every morning. After the party all night long, every night. These people were super, super rich.
And he would offer an altar, say, God, have mercy for my kids. If they did or said something that didn't please you last night. And then his wife, what does his wife do? Curses him. Curse your God and die. But he was a man full of mercy. And what the Bible says, he didn't say one. He said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken, God over, the whole thing ends. And what he has 14 kids with this lady. He, with the money that he has, let me tell you guys, he couldn't find another wife. Yes or no? Oh, yeah, in an area where they have more than one wife all the time. But he walked with the Lord. His heart was full of mercy. And God says, this is a man that is going to have my favor with God and with people. He's going to live long. He's going to have peace. And he's going to have my blessings. I finish with the story of Matthew 4. Jesus is taken, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit to the desert to be tempted. Sounds weird, huh? Because before he was going to start his great ministry, he needed to be tested in his love and faithfulness for his Father. And Jesus went through a season of temptation. I'm old enough to tell you, I have went through seasons of temptations in my life in different areas. Right now I'm going through one. And it's so beautiful when you know that you're just in a season of temptation. And this temptation comes to my mind and said, devil, I haven't thought about that in a long, long time. Get away behind me. I'm not going to listen to you. I have went through seasons of temptations of not being merciful with people, and I have not succeeded in every single one. I'm honest with you. But as I get older, I'm trying to grow in the favor with God and people. And I've done stuff that did not make everybody happy, but I was convinced that this is what the Lord wants me to do. And I tell you, I have not lost one person who did not make them happy. Because I have found out people knows what's the right thing and what's the wrong thing in this world. And I have to worry about whatever they want to do. All I have to worry is to walk according to the Word of God in my life. Are you going through a season of temptation of not being merciful with somebody? Are you going through a season of temptation of not walking in obedience in the Word of God in an area of your life? Would you close your eyes right there where you are? Right there where you are. God has a solution for every temptation. He has a solution for everything that wants to come and kill obedience and mercy in our life. Do you really want his favor? And maybe you're here for the first time and you say, Pastor, I have no idea what it means to walk with the Lord. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit brought you into this place because he wants you to surrender your life to Jesus. That's when life really starts. Ask anybody around this room who walks with God. Life really started the moment they surrender their life to Jesus. And if that's you, I invite you to pray after me and everybody in the church who wants to encourage this person. But we want to just help to this individual who says, I need God's favor. And with people, oh my goodness, I need it. Would you repeat after me? Say, Father God, I need you in my life. Jesus, come and change everything. Lord, I need your favor, your high esteem, your peace, your long life. I want it. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me all my sins. I want to walk with you. I want to be obedient to you. I give you everything I am. Amen and amen. Father, I thank you for those in this room this morning. with this word hit them so hard, God, that the next 10 years it will be coming back and back and back and back to them. Every time they have to make a decision of obedience or of being merciful with people, with this scripture will come back to us for the rest of our days. Lord, we need you in our lives tremendously. Thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.